I was reading the other day about this preacher who told of going through his father's belongings after his father died. And among the things, he found his father's seventh grade report card. And back in the fall of 1941, this seventh grade report card showed the grading scale at the back of it. There was an A, B, C, D, F. But he said, you know what? Something unusual about this card, that it had also the letter G. Who would have thought that you would get a grade that is below F? But back then there was an F, which meant failure. But apparently there was something worse than F, a G. And on the back of the report card, the letter G was this one word explanation: hopeless. He said, so you were not only just a failure, you were a hopeless failure. Think about that, eh? How that must have crushed the spirits of children. And in our text today, friends, we find two men walking along the road and their lives had become rated G. They had become hopeless. Their lives had fallen apart. Two of the followers of Jesus were shaken by the events of the last week. From Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the donkey and the people shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, and this was awesome. And then during that week, Jesus is arrested by the Jewish religious leaders. He is put on trial, he is put to death, and he is buried. And now here are two of his followers that they're heading out of town to a little town called Emmaus, 7 kilometers, just about 11.8 kilometers, 7 miles away from Jerusalem was Emmaus. And maybe getting out of the city would help clear their minds and collect their thoughts and calm their hearts. Our text for today is in Luke 24. Luke 24, 13 to 17. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. These two were totally downcast and disheartened. Have you noticed, friends, that some of the saddest words in our English language begin with the letter D? Depressed, disappointed, discouraged, disillusionment, disheartened, doubt, defeat, despair, and even death. Many of us struggle with these things as we live our lives in the world today. Life's journey tends to be hard at times. I was reading about this fellow, Mark Buchanan. He's an author. He wrote about his own experience in a book titled Your God is Too Safe. He wrote that when he was saved, he hit the road running. Immediately, I volunteered for everything, anything that I felt vaguely interested in and marginally qualified for. I led the youth group, I helped with the music, I taught Sunday school, I wrote the church newsletter, I became the camp counselor, I served as a mentor to several young men. But something, somewhere, went wrong. The zeal fizzled. The fire in my bones became an ache in my joints. My running became plodding. My lightness became heaviness. My joyfulness became jadedness. I joined the ranks of the murmurers and fault finders. You know, those who did not like the music and the sermon or the color of the azaleas at the back of the church. And he said, I found them many in numbers. And this seemed to be the experience of the followers of Jesus at the time of his crucifixion. They too were discouraged and disappointed. Suddenly, a man starts to walk alongside them. His identity is hidden from them. It's Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And he's listening to their conversation when he asks, what are you guys talking about? Jesus' seemingly absurd question stops them in their tracks. Verse 17, it says, they stood still. Like, what? It took the wind out of them. Their faces downcast. They were heartbroken. Why? Because all that they had known was turned upside down. Our text goes on to verse 18. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a powerful prophet. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. Jesus, friends, hadn't died. He didn't just die an hour or two before the conversation. He's been dead 3 days. They thought that there was absolutely no way that Jesus could possibly be who he had hoped to be. Who they had hoped he would be. What only added to their confusion was that now there's a group of women coming to say that Jesus is alive, that his tomb is empty. It was all so confusing, so hard to believe, so difficult to understand. Well, just the last week before his crucifixion, they had been with Jesus. They had loved him and followed him. It was a glorious week until he was arrested, tried, and crucified. A cruel and most degrading kind of death. And all of their hopes and dreams, friends, were scattered. Shattered. I got it here. But I said it wrong. Oh well. And once they had been sure that Jesus was the answer to the world's problem, they were sure of it. These despondent followers summed up the situation very neatly when they said, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God. Listen what they said. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Do you know the past tense is used, friends? This is a past tense that is used. He was. We had. These are sad words, friends. But listen, when hope dies in someone, it's a terrible thing. Human hope is a fragile thing. Hopelessness is a disease of the human spirit. It is difficult to cure. And these two men had erected a wall of hopelessness around themselves, and they were trapped in their misery. And perhaps they were even angry with God for dashing their hopes, for not answering their prayers. And friends, when what you and I hope for doesn't happen, it's sad. But when it seems that God has let you down, has let me down, it's even worse. If we are honest, we can all relate to that. Sometimes it seems God lets us down. God doesn't come through for us the way we expect. We pray for healing, but it doesn't happen. We talk about God about the strained relationships, and they get worse. We pray for peace of mind, but we struggle with anxiety. We pray for enough money to get us through the month, but the cash ends before the bills are paid. It seems that God lets us down. Now, I gave you four examples. You are just rattling off in your mind. There's 10 more where God seems to let you down. We've all have been there. We've all have been let down by others, and it hurts. But when God doesn't do what we hoped He would, the pain is greater. And we quietly ask, why didn't you save this life? Why did my loved one die? Why did my relationship end? Why doesn't God heal me? But keep in mind, friends, that the two followers knew, all they knew was based on what they could see. And all they could see was chaos and confusion. All they could see was with their physical eyes. Friends, heartbreak comes when we are walking by sight. Heartbreak comes to all of us from time to time, and we experience it. And when we experience, it's easy to get together with our friends and begin to talk and complain and relive the past and even run away, just like these two fellows were doing. Sometimes it's hard to see what God is doing while we are in the middle of a painful experience. The two followers had forgotten that Jesus promised that He would die, but that He would rise from the dead. He will be raised from the dead on the third day. It's so easy for us to forget all the promises too. You know that we are promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. But we struggle with that promise in the middle of a heartbreak. We know the promise, He shall, come on, shall supply all my our needs according to His riches in glory. But we struggle to believe that during tough times, and we can't make ends meet. We know the scripture, help me, all things are working together for good to those who love Him. But when we are going through our heartbreaks, we can't believe that something good can come out of that. We sing a song way back in the day, something beautiful. Something good, all my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and doubt, and He made something beautiful of my life. But if all you know, friends, is what you can see with your own eyes, you are in trouble. Faith requires trust. Faith requires trust. It requires believing that there is more to what you can see with your own eyes. One night, a house caught fire. Everybody was out of that house except a little boy who was in the second story of the building. His father, the little boy, was standing at the window. His father stood on the ground with his outstretched arms, calling to his son, "Jump and I'll catch you." The little boy knew he had to jump to save his life, but all the little boy could see, however, was flame and smoke and blackness. As can be imagined, he was afraid to leave the second story room. His father kept yelling, "Jump, I'll catch you." But the boy protested, "Daddy, I can't see you." And the father replied, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters." Amen. Then the boy jumped, and his father caught him. Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Moving on in our passage, friends, Jesus hints at their problem. In other words, why they are downcast. He says in verse 25 and 26, he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" I'm thinking, friends, that Jesus took them through the book of Leviticus and explained how the Old Testament sacrifices pointed ahead to the day when the ultimate sacrifice will give his life on the cross so that we can be saved. He gave his life as a ransom for many. Then I believe Jesus told him about the ancient prophecy in Psalm 22:16, where he said, "A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet." Then Jesus must have taken them to Isaiah 53 verse 5, which says that the servant of the Lord was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus took them to the great prophecy of the resurrection in Psalm 16:10, which says, "For you will not leave me in the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Friends, the point is that if you want to have a close encounter with Jesus Christ, you have to have a close encounter with the Word of God. Amen? Amen. This is where we experience the power of God. This is where we experience the grace of God. This is where we first learn about the love of God. These two men were slow to believe all the promises of the scriptures. They were slow to believe who Jesus is. This was their problem, and it might be ours too at times, friends. I am convinced that heartbreak happens this way. We think God will do something based on our faulty understanding and knowledge of His Word and His ways. So we get discouraged and think that God let us down, that He disappointed us, and that Jesus failed us. But the problem is not with Jesus. The problem is we want God to do something He never said He would do. And as a result, we are heartbroken. But for you and I, friends, our lives and the lives of the two men on the road to Emmaus, God had another plan. Jesus led them past their limited understanding, past what their eyes could see, and he led them to a deeper understanding of his plans. In Luke 24, 27, it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." My wife always makes sure I drink water. I don't know why. I forget about it. I'm so excited. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe Jesus gave these fellows on the road to Emmaus the greatest Old Testament sermon in history. As Jesus spoke, light started coming on. They couldn't have imagined that sharing their problem with a stranger on the Emmaus road brought them towards a solution. But there was more to it than that. Jesus wasn't beside them simply to help them find a solution. He was in the problem itself. And Jesus told them, did not the Messiah, did not the Christ have to suffer these things? Friends, understand that Jesus knows our doubts and concerns. He sees our heartbreak and he wants to help. He doesn't want to leave you wondering. He wants to take you further in your faith, past quick answers, past cliches and limited understanding. He wants to meet with you. Jesus wants to meet with you. He doesn't want to be a stranger in his life. And even He wants to help you make sense, friends, of the things that hurt you. Why is it that when we need Jesus most, it may be the hardest to recognize him? Yeah. We wallow. Thank you. We're a team. We work together. We wallow in disappointment, self-pity, even panic. We are so busy, and with so many things on our minds, we are focused on what we need to, how we need to fix, and what we need to do to fix our problems and make things right, that we don't recognize Jesus with us. That's human nature, friends. The two disciples were so fixed on putting their lives back together that they didn't recognize Jesus right next to them. Yet they did one thing right. They invited Jesus to stay with them. Verse 29, 8 to 29, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Jesus is invited to be with these two followers. Verse 30 says, "And when he was at the table with them, he broke bread, gave thanks. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight." Awesome. He broke the bread, gave thanks, and suddenly he was no longer a stranger. The lights went on. They recognized the risen Christ. They were no longer despondent. The gloom was gone. And verse 32 said, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They moved from broken hearts to burning hearts. Amen. How come? Because they recognized Jesus was with them. Friends, he opened their eyes. He gave them a passion and purpose where all there had been was pain. And it came from two things. These are truly the basics of a walk with Jesus. Spending time with him in prayer and spending time with him in the Bible. These are the connections to God. Friends, we are all traveling on the road to Emmaus this morning. Sometimes our dreams are shattered. Sometimes we laugh. Sometimes we cry and are sad. And Jesus said, you know what, guys? I didn't come to take the road away. I didn't come to exclude you from this. I came to walk with you.
Amen.
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 I came to walk with you, and I'm going to walk with you until we get home. In the meanwhile, pray and read the word, and your eyes can be opened and your heart warmed. Even, friends, though it's in the middle of the night, when this is happening, the two disciples are so pumped, man. They head right back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. You think they walked?
Nope.
They ran all the way, I'm sure. Our verse tells us, and our last verse, friends, is they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Their disillusionment, their discouragement, their depression, their doubt, all their hope that was lost, all the broken dreams, all the stolen futures were removed, and they were restored, friends. Why? Because Jesus is alive.
Amen.
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 Amen. Jesus is alive, friends.
Amen.
And you know what? He's still alive today.
Amen.
Amen. He can do what he did for those men on the road to Emmaus. He can do that for you today, friends. Listen. This, friends, is the power of the resurrection. Let me conclude. We've all had our dreams shattered at some time or the other. Let me just tell you a story. I told the people on Tuesday, I think it was, at the old age home. An 80-year-old man stood up in the church. He said, at 30, I lost my job with 6 hungry mouths and a wife to feed. I didn't know what to do. At 40, my eldest son was killed in a war overseas. It knocked me down. At 52, my house burned to the ground. I lost everything in it. At 60, my wife of 40 years got cancer. It slowly ate away at her. We cried together and we prayed together. At 65, she died. I was in agony. I went through each of these situations in unbelief. I wondered, where was God? But in each of these situations, I met God in a new way. When I lost my job and I wondered how I'm going to feed my family, God assured me that He will provide for our every need. When I lost my son, God reminded me that He gave His son that my son can have eternal life. When my house burned to the ground and I was discouraged, God told me that He is preparing a place for me, that where He is, I may be also. When I lost my wife, Jesus came to me and wiped away my tears and said, "She who believes in me, though she died, yet shall she live." Isn't that marvelous, friends? Hey, listen. We all find ourselves struggling. But today I want to encourage you. Don't walk away from God. Walk with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Walk with Jesus. See the God who not only makes promises, but who keeps them even when it seems unlikely or impossible. See a God whose power is limited by nothing, whose love is boundless. See a God who is merciful and compassionate, not wanting a single soul to be lost. See a God, friends, who does not leave us guessing, but guides us with His word to show us the way of blessing. See a God who walks beside us through this life and is waiting there at the finish line when our lives are over. Friends, see Jesus, your living and loving Lord.